Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Welcome on into the Ciroc Point After. Celebrate life responsibly. The black and gold falling 25-10 to the Las Vegas Raiders. Let's go back to the Caesars Superdome, where quarterback Spencer Rattler is at the podium addressing the media.
Changed in the second half.
I mean, we just beat ourselves. Even in that first half, we were moving the ball at will, run and pass game, putting it together, and just, you know, penalties, some missed throws, some drops, just some identification stuff. We just got to overall be better in all those areas.
Do you feel like it was a general improvement of your performance? Was kind of, you know,
happy,
you were saying Monday, but
you're not happy with the loss. You know, we only scored 10 points, and you know, had some, you know, plays that could have went our way but didn't. You know, frustrating, very frustrating. But, you know, what else can you do? I mean, they play better than us today, and especially in that second half.
Did you feel like personally yourself getting more and more frustrated as the game was going on? And does that play out in your performance? You know what I mean?
I mean, everybody's frustrated. Just keep going, you know, couldn't catch a rhythm, really, in that second half. You know, third quarter, fourth quarter, couldn't catch a rhythm. You know, shot ourselves in the foot multiple times throughout the game. And, I mean, yeah, it's frustrating, but you got to have good body language. I mean, there was certain times I could have definitely been more, you know, not showing as much frustration, but, you know, it's tough. And, you know, I just try to keep the guys up. It's not like we're going out there just to go three and out every time. And then obviously there in that, what was that, fourth quarter, end of third quarter, it's tough being backed up when they're playing soft and then teeing off, you know, and drop back knowing we're going to throw. So a lot of areas we need to clean up overall. You know, I thought we did good in the first half, obviously not in the second.
Can you talk about the touchdown pass?
Yeah, I mean, that was a great play call. Played out just like we practiced it for a few weeks, and I thought that got us some good momentum. And, you know, the next drive we got down there, and then we just kept getting penalties. And, you know, I thought we could have scored again, but, you know, penalties killed us.
How do you stay up when you have momentum and you keep having something when you stop in the drives?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, you know, when you're backed up, second and long, third and long, you just got to keep chipping at it. Had some opportunities there, at, you know, to make some plays, but, you know, obviously we didn't. And, you know, their time of possession was much better than ours, and, you know, they controlled the game, and, you know, we got to be better as an offense.
I know you want to see results with wins and everything, but how much is this playing time, this experience helping you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's helping. You know, if you playing games, it's definitely helping. Obviously, sucks that don't have a win so far, but, you know, that one was frustrating because, you know, we had a good short week, wanted to come in, expected to win, and didn't. So, frustrating for sure.
Saints quarterback Spencer Rattler there wrapping things up after the black and gold fall 25-10 to the Las Vegas Raiders. We're going to pause 10 seconds now and let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints radio network. Well, the Saints did score a touchdown today, so I can say this. This day after the Saints score a touchdown, get free large fries with any large purchase on the McDonald's app. We'll be back with more right after this on the Ciroc Point After on the New Orleans Saints radio network. Who dat? We're back here on the Ciroc Point After. Time for the Cajun Cannon to sound off. He's our bartender. He's our therapist after this 25-10 loss to the Las Vegas Raiders. Cajun Cannon, another tale of two halves and just overall really bad football.
Well, Steve, Charlie, Houdat Nation, when it rains, it pours. But we're not the worst team in the league. We're not. You know why? I always go by head-to-head. We beat the Giants in New York. Well, what is that saying? No, the Raiders are not very good. And what, they beat us by 15? So what does that say? I don't know. You got to play. Isn't a game four quarters? You can't play, you know, oh, how many times we've said, oh, tale of two halves. Well, we did good.
Too many times.
The first half or vice versa, whatever, but not a complete game. No, we're not playing winning football, I think, Coach Rizzi. The players overall, since he took over, they are playing hard for him. But that Packers game, not so much. You know, that just goes to show you how overwhelmed we were when we played Green Bay. Isn't Green Bay relevant?
For sure.
So what does that make us? Irrelevant. Because look at the outcome of the game. Now, the Raiders are irrelevant, and they beat us by 15 points. So you cannot compare. It depends how you lose and who you lose to. You cannot compare a loss to Green Bay and a loss to the Raiders. Hell no. Well, Green Bay, look where they're going. Well, where are the Raiders going? Okay, you might say, well, Bobby, look all the injuries we've had. The Raiders had 17 starters out. 17. So,
lies told.
Where are you at? But the Raiders have a franchise quarterback, like a Jordan Love. Look at the Packers. O'Connell, he's a franchise quarterback. He might be a bridge. He might be a poor man. He is a poor man compared to what Derek Carr gets paid. So he is a poor man quarterback when you look at it. I know he's a big fan of O'Connell because he went to Purdue, Drew Brees. I said he's a poor man's Brock Purdy. If you put him with Shanahan, I think he'd have success. There's not enough good enough quarterbacks, but
you said Drew Brees and my eyes started tearing up.
Yeah, everybody's trying to remember. I told y'all everybody wanted to run Drew Brees out of town. You remember I said, oh, we need a more mobile quarterback. How about you need a winner like Drew Brees? And that's why we needed to milk Drew Brees and keep going with him.
Even with all his injuries, we'll put him out there.
Because all I know is even when our defense sucked, we were always hovering around 500. But, Bobby, that's not – then he's the middle of the pack. Well, right now we're not even at the middle of the pack. So what I say I think I'm being honest with this. Oh, we just need to tweak this, tweak that. How about tweak this? You know what I'm pointing at. Yeah, tweak nothing. Need an overhaul, a rebuild, however you want to describe it. Oh, we had bad injury with injuries. Oh, unlucky bounces. Well, don't all teams deal with that? Sometimes you can make your own luck, and what's going to end up coming about? All I know is, and I'd save this. I looked after the Commanders' loss in Jane Daniels, and we were we now. If you look, okay, what are you doing against winning teams? We're 0-7 with teams with a winning record this season. It's probably 0-8 because that was the Packers, so 0-8. The Raiders know not a winning team, obviously. So you look at it, if you look at like the last three seasons, you know we are against winning teams? Don't you have to win to go to the playoffs or beat winning teams to go to the playoffs? You know who's not had a significant win and they're trying to? That's the Packers. They win all those games, but you know, can they beat the Vikings? Or can they do something? We're not near that right now. But if you look at the last three seasons, we 4-19 against teams with winning records.
Ouch.
A winning record is you could be 9-8 and have a winning record. So that's basically you hovering around 500. So that's nothing to write home about. So that's why I'll look at, you know, the vision that Mickey Loomis and the organization could have for the Saints going forward and where we're at. You say, oh, well, you got to trust the process. Well, I think the process is an extreme makeover is needed. Listen, sometimes everyone has to check their ego at the door. Oh, what does it take to truly win? Why do you think 6, 7, 8 coaches get fired every year? It's pro football. Everybody wants to win, but not everybody's going to win. So, we got to have a rebuilding program. No, you get your ass fired, and they get a new man in town, and new things come about. That's not the Saints. That's everybody in the NFL. Look at the Raiders coach. Is he on the hot seat? They might make changes. He just got hired. He could be gone. You know, you never know. You go like with the win. And is the ending on a positive note or the ending on a negative note? I look at Coach Rizzi. Coach Rizzi is the NFL coach. And what I mean by is he a head coach? As of lately, you would say, no, he's not maybe going to get that opportunity.
Still but to be determined, right.
But special teams? Coach Rizzi is going to coach 20, 30 years in NFL special team because he knows what he's doing. The bottom line, it's a production business. You have to win. If you don't win, then you got to do something else. That's why you got to be a pro. Deuce and I talk about this all the time. These players, I hope they mature enough to realize they're being evaluated, because you have to look at, the other teams are looking at the Saints players just like the Saints are. So if you want to be a pro and last, everything you do on film, you better have the effort and the production, or they're going to go in a different direction. And nothing against our older players. Cam Jordan was outstanding today. If you look at, like, on defense, as far as production, Cam Jordan had a sack, he had a quarterback hurry, he had two tackles for a loss. You know what? We had one sack today. You know how many sacks we have? Then we talk about this Chase Young and all coming. Okay, Bob, we got to get after the quarterback this year. Man, we got 38 sacks in the season. That's a little bit better than the damn Falcons. The Falcons. You got to get after the quarterback. You need to be in the high 40s or low 50s, truly, if you're disrupting an opposing quarterback. You know who plays hard, and they're not going nowhere. They're staying home. Look at the Cardinals. I watched that game last night on NFL Network. Did Matthew Stafford burn the Cardinals? No, he didn't. Look how that game came down to the wire. So when you look at, well, not everybody can win. Everybody wants to win, but it's just the way. And you know what? And this is the NFL though. We've only played, if you look, we played the Raiders now. We've played them 16 times since the Raiders, you know, OAFL came to the NFL.
And now then, they have the edge, right?
Yes. Yeah. We're now 7-8. We were 7-7-1 tiebreaker. Right. Oh, now we have 7 wins. They have 8 wins and 1. Now you think, okay, we're going to play a Tulane Stadium in the Dome. Now we're at 500. Now it's 4-4-1. So it just shows you how it's tough to win in the NFL and how it's structured. But when you break it down and people say, like, oh, but Avery, too into those stats, into that stats. You know why? The stats are facts. That's what actually happens in the game. And you can't be a nerd where just, oh, it's just stats. No, you got to take in the human emotion and the element. But when you break down pros versus pros, yes, hell yeah, the stats make a difference. It was almost 2-1. They had 22 first downs. We had 13. Bobby, if you had 13 and 13, that's 26. I don't know. I said almost. I didn't say it's 2-1. But you look at third down. Then you tied it into time of possession. Who's dictating the ebb and flow and the tempo of a game? This is as good as it gets in the NFL. They were 10 of 18, 56%. We couldn't get off the field. You know, we making it's at the Dome right now. You know what ends up happening? And they're trying to get the crowd hype, but we don't stop nobody on third down. So we have pumped in noise. We actually have pumped in noise, and it's not the crowd because we cannot get off the field defensively. Because that's when you want the crowd to cheer. But they were 10 of 18, 56%. Basically, to me, we're 0 for. We got that damn first down at the end. That, to me.
Yeah,
we were 0-9 one time. 0-9. I don't know if I've ever witnessed a game 0-9 on third down. You don't convert on third down. We end up being 1 of 10. No, you need to be hovering around 45%. I'm not saying 50%. That's Drew Brees. Drew Brees ain't here no more. So I'm not saying that. But and I've been part of teams. I actually led a team with 48.5% on third down. And can I really run all around and all that? No. What does it take to move the sticks, to move the chains? How do you convert? But 1 of 10, that's eye-popping. So negative. So basically, when you look at time of possession, they had the ball 37-50 minutes. We had a 22-10. That's basically 2-1. So therefore, they're going to have more opportunities. And this, I said this in the damn pregame, and it came to fruition. We used to be able to stop the run. It wasn't that long ago.
Forget about
it. We were in the top three, top five for sure, stopping the run. Now it's like, gash. We giving up 5 yards a run, chunk play. They got Abdullah. But where did he escape from? Syria or something to come play for the Raiders? He's an old school running back. Abdullah, he's gaining 6 yards a carry.
Career day for him, too.
Career day, 20 carries, 115 yards, a long gain of 17.
Second round pick in 2015.
Why couldn't Kendrick Miller have that kind of game? But that's a different story. I'm going to go there right now. But you look at Abdullah, how productive he was. And what's frustrating about that is that you look at the Raiders. Do you know they were dead last? Now think about this. Bob, what are you talking about? They were dead last. They were dead last. Let me get my notes over here. They were dead last when you think about rushing the football. They were averaging 77
right.
and a half yards a game. Well, you know, it was all said and done. They doubled that. They doubled up. They had 156 yards, average 4.1. So, but this is the thing. They had 38 attempts. They thought, man, we can run on the Saints. You know why they thought they can run on the Saints? Because we were, okay, they were there last, but we were 30th. We were giving up 138 yards a game. So they end up getting 156. So we didn't stop them. And then what did we do at the beginning of the season, what we're not doing now? Do we get any takeaways anymore? No. We don't. I don't know, forced fumble or interception. It's back-to-back games now. We're minus two in the turnover margin. So we're minus three for the season right now. Okay, you look at the Raiders. Where were the Raiders at in the turnover margin? Now, when you look at that, the Raiders, okay, coming into the game, they were one before last, minus 17. Well, today they were plus two.
Minus 15 now, make it.
Yeah, so now they're minus 15. But just goes to show you, they close in the season, I guess, on a high note. Versus where we're at. And then you look at discipline. Okay, you look at penalties. Remember I tell you 9 penalties or more or 100 yards, it's like giving up a touchdown. Well, we had 10 penalties for 77 yards. So that's like giving up a touchdown. We lost 25-10. So let's say, give us a touchdown, 25-17 or take a touchdown away. We still lost the game. But when you look at, we'd have a big play. And then, nullified.
Penalty.
It doesn't count. This happened at the beginning of the game.
Right. Very first drive for them.
The very first drive. Come on, Carl Granderson, you're one of our better players. You can't be freaking jumping off sides. We'd have forced it 3-and-out. So we don't force it 3-and-out. So you know, therefore, what happens? They drive 17 plays. Now, they only kick a field goal. But they eat up 9 minutes and 11 seconds. So I don't know. Like I said, when it rains, it pours. It just looked bad. And it seems like we are a team. It's like a tale of two halves. When we're playing, it's like, oh, Bob, maybe we could play a complete game. No. It just, we are a tale of two halves right now. You know what I noticed not good, too? I talked about Abdullah rushing for them. When the quarterback's the leading rusher. Now, it's good that Spencer Rattler's mobile and he can run. But 2 weeks in a row, that's not good if the quarterback's the leading rusher. But you know why he was the leading rusher? Alvin Kamara didn't play. That shows you how valuable Alvin Kamara is to this team. You know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, just learning the offense. He got to play. He had 5 rushes. He averaged 4 yards a carry. He had a long gain of 9. Kendre Miller, I don't know. But is he the offensive version of Marcus Davenport?
And, he was being evaluated for concussion.
Yeah, evaluated. Yeah, evaluate this. Come on. Kendre Miller. And then I look at Jamal Williams. Jamal Williams, he likes to interact with the fans. That's a good thing. But I'd rather him not want to talk to nobody and just be, man, that guy's not good to the media. He's not good to the fans. He's not good. He's unsociable. But he kicks ass. No, he's sociable, and he don't kick ass. How about that one pass protection right in the A-gap? You can't step the wrong way. You got to step up and block. Now, the offensive line's going to get the blame for that sack, and it's the damn running back. Remember I told you tight ends, running backs? When you pass protected and they're coming after you, they're just as important as the offensive line. So Jamal Williams, nothing to write home about with that. Rattler was outstanding the first half. Second half, not so much. He ended up with a couple of picks, but his quarterback rating of 60. You look at O'Connell, 97.5 quarterback rating, a couple of touchdowns. So, how about, now, you're talking about getting the draft, right? How about Brock Bowers, the tight end? That's a pro that always shows up. Boy, you know, think about this cat living a great life. You know where he's from? Wine country. He might be aristocrat, but he's like a good old country boy. He plays hard. He's from Napa, California. Napa Valley. You know the wine country? He leaves California, goes to University of Georgia. Then look, he's now in Las Vegas with the Raiders, and all he cares about football. He don't even go nowhere. And Brock Bowers, all of a sudden, he now breaks the a rookie record for receptions in a season and yards. And we all know Mike Ditka, that's the Saints connection here. You know, he leads the tight ends. You look at reception yards. He just surpassed Mike Ditka. He only needed like 9 more yards for the most ever by a rookie tight end. So now he ended up breaking, as far as receptions, the number, a rookie number, I think a Puka.
Right, Puka Nacua.
Yeah, ended up breaking his record. So all I know is he got the first 2 plays, and they were feeding him. I don't know if that was planned, but he ended up having 7 targets, 7 catches, 77 yards, a long gain of 17.
A lot of sevens.
Yeah, yeah. So when I looked how that unfolded, I think Juwan Johnson at times, I think he's just inconsistent. He had 10 targets. He had 6 catches. He led all our receivers. I think, you know who's been steady? But he's never going to be your number one tight end. Foster Morrow from New Orleans, who played at LSU, was with the Raiders. You know he wanted to be the Raiders as much as Derek Carr wanted to. But Derek Carr, obviously, with a broken hand, didn't play. But Foster Morrow can make everybody's, every NFL team, but not the number one tight end. You know what I'm talking about? You make a team and you can contribute.
Yeah, sure.
I think he's that good. He's played that well this year in a Saints uniform.
Vocal leader, too.
Yes, he had a mature guy, knows how to talk to the media, knows how to talk to the players. He had 3 catches, 47 yards, 16-yard average, that long gain of 30, and ended up with a touchdown. I think, Charlie, help me out here, you and Steve. I think he might be leading the team in touchdowns this year.
Is
that correct? Steve, off the top of my head, I'm thinking Foster Morrow, doesn't he have like 5 touchdowns or something like that?
Yeah,
see, the 5 or 6. I know Foster Morrow, so I'm just telling you, he could make every team, there'd be a role. Now, he might not get the money he wants, but he could still be on every team.
Yeah, receiving touchdowns, he's got 5. Behind him is MVS, Marquez Valdez-Scantling. But he was on that little bit of a heater.
Yeah, and he just came back. No, I understand. We don't have Chris Olave. We don't have Rashid Shaheed. We don't have Taysom Hill. We don't have Alvin Kamara. But all the teams are dealing with injuries. That's why, okay, and this is what I say. Didn't I just name a bunch of offensive players? Did any of them play defense? Well, why in the hell our defense sucks? Our defense is bad. Our defense is about as bad as it's been in a while. And, Bobby, I know that's just your opinion. No, it's not my opinion. You know, we ranked total defense coming into the game. Did we do any better today, considering that when you look at, like, total yards, okay, when you look at when all said and done, total net yards, we gave up basically 400, 388 yards. Well, you know what? Coming into the game, we were giving up 378.5, which is 30th. So we gave up more than that to the sorry-ass Raiders. And then rushing defense, we were 30th, giving up 138 yards a game. Well, the Raiders get 156. So that's, to me, the most disappointing aspect of this. Because haven't our defensive players been available? No, our defense, okay. That, to me, you when you're not tweaking that, you're making an overhaul, a change. And I like Pete Werner. Pete Werner led the team in tackles. He had 13 total, 8 unassisted. But can you say, now I know he had that broke hand, he's tough, he's played and all that, but how you play a player and all that, okay, look at the production. Look it up. Talk about 100-plus tackles and all. Look at a number of players. Look at these 3 players, and they all, okay, now he's hurt, and he's hurt with the Saints with his shoulder. Alex Azzalone with the Lions. Look at Kaden Dallas, how productive he's been with Atlanta. Okay, you remember we couldn't find a spot for the Eagles linebacker? I think Vic Fangio found out. Steve, what's his name
from
Wisconsin? Zach Bond. I'm just saying. So when you look at, okay, that's a bunch of players we had in-house, and you go in a different direction. Nothing against Pete Werner, but You look at players that we've counted on and how the defense, we rank, we're not in the top five. Top, we don't say, well, we at least, I think it gives us a chance to be a top 10 defense. No, we're 30th. Not last one before last, but it might as well be. Total defense, rushing defense, and then passing defense, we're 28th. And we're not taking away the football. You want to know why where are we at? Right. And I can tell you this. I'm going to leave this before we go to the break and get to the callers. I'm extremely disappointed because I thought, and not necessarily we're going to win anything. I thought at the best case scenario, we can maybe disrupt the NFC South and win the NFC South and host a game like Tampa did last year. I said this in training camp. Host a game and maybe you throw the fans to Who That Nation a bone and you win a game at home. You know how Tampa Bay beat the Eagles last year at home? Did you realistically think Tampa Bay was going to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl?
Absolutely not, right.
But it still gives you a light at the end of the tunnel. And it's not the train coming, it's you going forward. And then you're optimistic.
We got run over by the train.
We deceived a little bit about where we're at. So I'm thinking, okay, we can maybe do that. And, the stars are aligned. And I kind of said, because you know why? Because I thought, man, we were plus 11 in a turnover margin. Right now, we damn freaking minus 3 in the turnover margin. You got to be on that plus side. That's the way we structured. So when I looked at it, I said, we don't get the double-digit wins. I don't know what it's going to take to win the NFC South, 9-8, 8-9. I said worst-case scenario. Now it's impossible. Worst-case scenario is 7-10. Well, what are we right now? 5 wins?
5, yeah.
So you think we're going to beat Tampa Bay and Tampa? Now, we've always played well in Tampa. We've always played well, but Tampa's still fighting. They're behind off with Atlanta.
You still have hope.
Yeah, so even if we get to 6 wins, we still drastically underachieve. So, no, that's why, again.
We thought Vegas was crazy at the beginning of the year. What was it, 7 wins?
Yeah, man, Vegas. That's why they got all those beautiful buildings.
Yeah, exactly.
And stuff. I said, oh, no, we'll be over that. No, I did too.
I always had my money. I would have had my money on the over.
Not so fast. That's why I tell you that I would still even say this at 7 wins. But at 5 or 6 wins, there ain't no damn tweaking. It's an overhaul. We got to rebuild where we're at. Listen, we might have to have, Ms. Gale and Dennis Lauscher and all. We might have to have, you know, Sean Payton used to have those burials. We got to have a fake burial of like Sean Payton and Drew Brees. Them days are over. We starting anew. Because we do not want to go back to Mike Ditka and Haslett days. No. But you can't build upon what Sean Payton and Drew Brees did because they're gone. No, what are you going to do the last handful of years of this decade? Because right, that's where we're at right now. It ain't no hovering around 500. No, I think even if we win 6-11, that's not hovering around 500. That's not 8-9 or 9-8. So, listen, the truth hurts sometimes. You got to look in the mirror. And you got to humble yourself. Don't be mad. Don't be mad. You got to be a pro. You realize where you're at, and then you might have to have some outside influence in the building, and not necessarily you influencing an individual. No, you might need some new aspect of how you're going to do things, because right now it's not good enough. What have we not been in the playoffs now? 4 straight seasons?
Right.
It's not like 1 or 2. No, it's 4 straight seasons. So we're going to be status quo. You know, the Who That Nation is going to be ticked off. We're patient, and we want to party and have a good time, but we know what winning is. We witnessed that under Sean Payton and Drew Brees.
You heard the Cajun Cannon sound off. Your turn now on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talking Text Line, 504-260-1870. Who Dat? We'll be back with more of the New Orleans Saints. Siroc Point After, right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back to the Siroc Point After. Celebrate life responsibly. The Saints falling 25-10 to the Las Vegas Raiders in the Black and Gold's home finale. Want to go to look at a real quick at the NFL scoreboard brought to you by Miller Lite. At the half, Miami is leading Cleveland 6-3, and currently the Minnesota Vikings have a 10-3 lead over the Green Bay Packers. Definitely an interesting game to keep an eye on there. Cajun Cannon, we're going to get into our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk in text line. First up, Hollywood, what you got, man? How was your Christmas? And hope it was a lot better than this game today.
Yeah, Bobby, hello, Steve. How's your door?
All right, Hollywood. Are you at Fouchon? Are you back at your house or what?
No, I'm at Thibodeau. I'll go back to work right after morning, right for January the 1st. So it's all good. Merry Christmas was all right. I just get one present since I get older, you know.
Yeah,
I usually get a bunch of presents. You know what I'm saying, Bob?
Yeah, when you get older, you got to give presents. You don't get too many. You know, right. all the youngsters expect something from you.
Right. That's another garbage game, Bobby. I don't know what we could do. We need a major overhaul, front office, players, cap money. I don't know what would you do if you'd be a general manager. Where would you start to clean this garbage up that we're in right now?
Well, if I was, and I'm not in charge, but Ms. Gale and Dennis Slauson and Mickey, that's the three-headed monster. I would take the approach what has occurred in the past with Atlanta. Well, it hadn't worked in Atlanta. Why would we do that? But I'm just telling you, Mickey Loomis is not going nowhere. He's a part of the organization. I think Ms. Gale would honor her husband, Tom Benson, and the people who are in charge. And that I think Ms. Gale, she cares about what the fans think, and she wants to win. I think Dennis Lauscher wants to win, but he's the money guy. The bottom line, he wants the Houdat Nation, the Saints fans, still to embrace the team, whether that being the Saints or the Pelicans, to put a winning product out there. But Mickey Loomis has been around, and I think Mickey truly would want to win without Sean Payton and Drew Brees. Now, I don't know if you ever, no matter how old you are, if you can humble yourself and take, but I think he should be and move up in the organization and be a liaison, I like that French word, liaison to Ms. Gale, and kind of like Mr. McKay is with the Falcons. Mr. McKay left Tampa and went to Atlanta, was once the general manager, but Arthur Blank liked him, so he kept him around. Let Mickey, you stay in town, you're still going to be well compensated, and you go to the owner's meeting. Sometimes Ms. Gale doesn't want to go. So there could still be a role for Mickey. To me, the fallout guy, considering we not have had success with the draft, would be a Jeff Ireland. It's tough love. General managers like coaches, they move, they're like military brats. They move north, south, east, west. Jeff Ireland's been with the Dolphins. Why he didn't stay with the Dolphins? You don't always have success. You roll the dice. Is it snake eyes or is it 7-11? Look how we hit on the draft since 2017. Well, what has happened since then? So you have to look, again, what have you done for me lately? So I think Jeff Ireland might be that fall guy. But it's not none of this bull crap hiring from within. You know, because who are you comfortable with? How about, you know, you might have to be uncomfortable. And you bring somebody out, somebody else from the outside. Okay, this is what we're doing. Oh, why not? You might say, well, we don't need to blow it up. Well, you hadn't been to the damn playoffs in 4 years. You don't have to make drastic changes. No, you got to win. You got to win. You can't everyone. Sometimes you need to be uncomfortable to eventually be comfortable as far as winning. Look how quickly Sean Payton turned things around in Denver. Now they didn't take care of business against Cincinnati. They're still going to have an opportunity. But look at the Broncos. They hadn't been to the playoffs since 2015. They bring Sean Payton in. And look where they're at right now, Denver. Yeah, you don't think that Walton money, that Walmart money is counting on him? Okay, we're paying you a lot of money. He knows it's a production business. And he said, Bo Nix is my guy. So I'm just telling you, is Sean, all of a sudden, he leaves the Saints and he goes to Denver. Was he ever associated with the Denver Broncos?
No.
No. He was with he was a scab quarterback with the Bears when Mike Ditka, he coached the Eagles. You know,
Giants,
with Gruden
Eagles.
And all that, the Giants, Eagles, comes to the Saints. He didn't have
Dallas.
Dallas? Yeah, he didn't have no relationship with Denver. So I'm just telling you, that process, who you might bring in, we're going to shake things up to run the team, that's what might have to occur. And it might be, you know why a lot of people don't like that? I've been around a bunch of pro teams. You know why they don't like that? Because the people, it's like the trickle-down effect, the chain of command. Oh, if a new guy comes in, he might bring his own people. I might not have a damn job. I like living in New Orleans. Well, you might have to move. That's pro football. Just the way it is. It could be a trainer. Come on, I'll look at Dean Kleinsmith. He was a trainer forever with the Saints. He was with Steve Spurrier and the Redskins in Washington. Then he's with the Detroit Lions, a trainer. You look at equipment managers, whoever it might be, scouting department, all of that is influence. when all of a sudden you change the direction of who's in charge. So that's why a lot of times the people in the building, we don't need it. We just need to tweak stuff. We don't need to have drastic changes. Well, you could tweak stuff if you're winning or you give the fans hope. What hope do we have if you've not been in the playoffs for four straight years?
We need an awfully big tweak, it feels like, right now.
No, ain't no damn tweak. No, it's over. I'm telling you. You know why, to me, I was convinced when that was over? Is how we played at Green Bay. You know why I say that? Because Green Bay is relevant. The Raiders are not relevant. Well, if we'd have played the Raiders tough, the Packers tough, and lost, oh, man, the ball doesn't bounce away. No. We look like the junior varsity against the Packers.
I got another unfortunate statistic for you, Cajun Cannon. That 17 opening play drive for the Raiders, that field goal they ended up with, it's their first 17 play or more opening drive on the road since 2001.
Okay, so that's over two decades. Come on, that's basically just in the end of the 21st century.
I mean, breaking records.
Yeah, and the Raiders. Listen, the Raiders haven't been good in a long, long time. That's why Mark Davis, their owner, Al Davis' son, that's why he brought Tom Brady on board. You know, I don't know what Tom Brady's going to do. I said that in the pregame. Tom Brady, you know, owns 10% of the Raiders now. Will Mark Davis lean upon him and their future? So, hey, you got to shake things up. I'm just saying. All I know is, did you win or lose the game? That's going to be every
bottom
year.
Line.
Bottom line. Well, what is your record? Not who got hurt, this or that. Then they said, we got people hurt, you need better depth. That's just where we're at right now. And then you kind of take for granted the significance of the impact Sean Payton and Drew Brees. Like the same thing with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. Where are the Patriots at right now?
Rebuild.
The Patriots. They're at the bottom of the AFC East. I'm telling you, it's a lot harder than you think to stay on top. No, you can plan to try and get to the top, but once you had the top, to stay on the top like the Patriots did for two decades, and then you look at the Saints did for 15, 16 years, and now what the Chiefs are doing, no, Andy Reid, Pat Mahomes.
You need that coach QB combo, man. Yeah,
so it'd be interesting to see what happens with the Saints going forward.
Taking a break here on the Ciroc Point After. Want to hear from you, 504-260-1870. Let the Cajun Cannon hear what you got to say about this matchup and the rest of the season for this Black and Gold Bunch. We're taking a break, and we'll be right back after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here on the Ciroc Point After, going to get right to our callers on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. You can sound off too, folks, 504-260-1870. James, you are up next, my man. What you got, James?
Hey, so Bobby and Steve, finally you guys are going, not so much you, Steve. I think you kind of agree with me, but you're not saying it about Loomis. But Bobby, you finally agree with that Loomis has got to go. What, he's getting bumped up?
He's not going to go.
He's the worst GM in the division.
James, what are you saying? I finally said this. I've said this, what, Steve, probably 2 months ago, a month ago? That Mickey Loomis, I could see a scenario where he moves up like Mr. McKay did with Atlanta.
In a different role, right?
In a different role.
He needs to go. Do you figure? He needs to go.
Well, he ain't going to go. Well, he ain't going to go, James. You might want him to go, but you don't have no stroke. You might want Mickey Loomis to go, but he ain't going. He's going to still be part of the organization. He might be a liaison and go to the owners' meetings and all that, but and might not run things. You know, kind of fading off into the sunset and not necessarily tell a future general manager what to do. But we ain't running him out of town, James. You might want to run him out of town, but that ain't happening.
So listen here. There's an article by a guy by the name of Lou Scataglia. Yeah. About a mock draft. He just put in his article that we're picking 10th, and I don't see why we're picking 10th. I think we're the worst team in the league, at least top 5.
No, we're picking 10th because they have a lot worse teams than as far as the records. You might say we're bad, but they have teams that are worse than us right now with the record. And look, the Giants. We won in New York. We beat them head-to-head. You could say, well, are we worse than the Raiders? Yeah, they beat us head-to-head. But we beat the Giants in New York, so you can't say we're worse than the Giants. Come on.
So, Bobby and Steve, the article states that we're trading the number 10 pick to Sean for pick 22 and I guess some other picks. I don't know. They pick up Genty, the running back from Boise State, who we definitely need a running game. by the way.
We don't need no damn running back. We still got Alvin Kamara. You mean all the players? Hey, listen,
James,
we need a damn offensive line to block all the players that we need. You would take a running back right now. To me, that's the least thing I would do. I hope Kendre Miller can work out. You're probably disappointed in him like I am. I am disappointed. But right now, you can look at like safety, corner, linebacker, defensive line.
I agree with all of that. We need all of that. I'm not saying pick Jenty first. I'm saying Sean is going to get our pick, and it's going to pick Jenty.
Oh, okay, okay. I thought you said we were going to take him. Okay, I'm sorry, James.
We do need a running back. We do need a running back in the draft, but not number one.
Yes.
They're saying that we're going to take Sean's pick at 22, and get Isaiah Bond. Who is another worthy the kid from like the fastest wide receiver?
Oh, the one with the Chiefs. The one from Texas with the Chiefs, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But that's even a waste if you can't block and if you can't tackle. We need defensive linemen in the interior. We need offensive guards. I don't know who would have thought that our tackles are more reliable than our offensive.
Amen. James, that is the best point you made on this call. Who would have thought in August and September that we would say, okay, our rookie tackle and Trevor Penning has been more reliable than our interior offensive lineman. Now, look at McCoy's been hurt at center, but you look at guard, center, and guard overall. No, our tackles have been more reliable, James, like you said, than our interior. And that's one thing, because Jari Evans is up for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Now, we took that for granted. That was never a problem. When you look at, like, we've always had a stud center, and then you look at we had Carl Nix and Jari Evans and Max Unger and all. We never had to worry about that. Even Drew Brees, with our interior line, he might even struggle. You know why? Because Drew Brees couldn't be on his tiptoes to step up. I'm telling you, I think our offensive line, we have a ways to go. A ways to go, because when you look at, okay, where are we ranked offensively as far as running the ball? Okay, we middle of the pack, passing, we're like 23rd. I mean, nothing to write home about. And I'm telling you, Drew Brees is unbelievable. First ballot Hall of Famer. But we take for granted how dominant our offensive line was back in those days for a decade. And we're not even close to that right now.
We're taking a break here on the Ciroc Point. I have to be back with all your calls, so stay tuned right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here on the Ciroc Point, after reminding everybody, Venture Global donating $10 per Saints receiving yard to their Catch for the Coast program. Venture Global, innovating to provide low-cost LNG to the world. Their current donations after today's game is at $34,900. Going back to our Oakwin Heart Jewelers talk and text line, we got Jerry and Gretna on the line. Jerry, what you want to say today?
What's going on, man? Mr. Bobby, how you doing?
All right, Jerry from the West Bank, the best bank. Gretna, what's up?
Yeah, the best bank, Gretna. So before I start, I just want to tell you, I was a kid. I was at the game where you got your tooth knocked out. And my daddy said you was the toughest SOB ever to be a quarterback. So.
Well, the thing is, I know I wasn't no wuss. I'm going to keep it simple. I mean, I had to play that way. I wouldn't have lasted.
Now he's the toughest SOB as a radio host.
No, I don't know about that.
Oh, he's the toughest SOB, yeah. I know. God rest my father's soul. But anywho, I think more roles than next Jimmy Graham. And I think we need a new quarterback. Rizzy, I like Rizzy, but I think we got to get Gruden. Gruden got to come to the Saints. And we got to get a different quarterback. Where you at there, Bobby?
Well, I think Coach Gruden, I don't know. He got some skeletons in the closet. I don't know. But this day and age, since Trump's in office, I don't know if that'd make a difference with him as head coach or, you know, the emails and all that what came about between him and, Mr. Allen, Bruce Allen with Washington, when that came about. So I don't know if that'd be the right direction to go. I know John Gruden knows football. And
he's worked with Derek Carr before. If they keep him,
yes, he's worked with Derek Carr. I'll look at Coach Vrabel. He'll have a number of opportunities. He's the Dan Campbell type of coach.
Yeah, I see many suitors there.
You know, bite him in the kneecaps thing. But then you look, you might want to go, maybe in Chicago or something, have an opportunity. Same thing with offensive coordinator with Detroit. The one thing, I love Aaron Glenn. I love Aaron Glenn, the defensive coordinator with Detroit, but he wouldn't be good for the Saints because they basically be the same defense as Dennis Allen. So you might look at the fit. That does make a difference right now going forward. So, I'm not paid to make those decisions, Jerry, but there's different, you know, individuals that have that opportunity to be a head coach. I like Vrabel and Steve. I had my notes saved about him. I got it right here. Oh, you see that? I knew somebody would ask you about this.
Out of your magic hat.
Oh, now, if you look at, Dan Campbell, tough guy, in this day and age, they ain't woke coaches. They are like old school football coaches who could still relate to young players. You know how you relate to young players? That you don't have to say my way or the highway. You could say it's my way because we win. And look where the Lions are at. It's not like my way or the highway and then you don't win. They ain't listening to you. They're like, man, that senile old man. He don't know what the hell he's doing. But I look at Mike Vrabel. He was an NFL linebacker. Dan Campbell's NFL tight end. And look what he's done with the Lions. But here's Mike Vrabel. He was 54-45 in six seasons with the Titans, Tennessee Titans. Okay, he was the number one seed. Now, he didn't win a Super Bowl, but they were relevant. So that's what you have to look at it. Across six seasons with the Titans, he made the playoffs three times in that span. Will we take that now? Because we've been four straight years without the postseason.
Starving.
If you could tell me that Mike Vrabel would come to the Saints and over the next handful of years, half a dozen years, we'd be in the playoffs three out of six, hell yeah, I hire him. Because at least we have a fighting chance. So I think that's when I look, okay, who's the future coach for the Saints? But he'll have different options. Again, Ben Johnson from the Lions, where is he going to end up as offensive coordinator?
I think Aaron Glenn, too, might have a lot of suitors.
But it might not be with the Saints, but right. He'll have suitors, depending on what they do going forward, postseason success. You know who else? Because look what you look at the quarterback he's coaching, Joe Brady.
Right.
With the Buffalo Bills.
Ties here, went to LSU.
Yeah, but Insminger was calling the plays. I like Joe Brady. Joe Brady was part of the Saints, and he went to LSU. I know everything about that. He would help out in the red zone on third down. But Steve Insminger was calling the plays. They didn't want to give him credit. Now, Joe Brady has matured as a coach. What did he do with Carolina? Nothing. You know why? Who's the freaking quarterback for North Carolina or the Carolina Panthers? Nothing. And then you go with Josh Allen. Josh Allen will make a lot of people look good. Look at Josh Allen and Buffalo Bills. And Joe Brady took advantage of that opportunity. So it doesn't matter where Joe Brady lines up. You know who I want to be the offensive coordinator with? I want to be the damn offensive coordinator for Joe Burrow and Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson. How can you not have success? And right now, Coach Monken with the Ravens, please in the playoffs. That'll make Lamar Jackson even good. Run Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry for sure should have 20-plus rushing attempts. I'm telling you, I'm so intrigued in the AFC. Look, the Chiefs, until you beat the Chiefs, you got to beat the man to beat a man. But I'm intrigued. I hope the Bengals make the playoffs. I don't think they will. They have three or four things that have to happen. But watch out for the Bills and the Ravens. If the Chiefs do it this year against where the Bills are at and the Ravens, I'd be impressed with that because the Bills are hot. And now you got Derrick Henry with the Ravens. If Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid can do it again, they might be the greatest team of all time. Dynasty. You look at the Patriots. You look at the Cowgirls. You look at the Steelers. You look at the 49ers. Any of those teams. Going old school since the Super Bowl, you let them what they're facing coming up, that would be impressive.
Before we head to break, want to pause 10 seconds, let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Now we'll head to break. When we get back, more of your calls right here on the Ciroc Point After. Stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We are back here on the Ciroc Point After. Celebrate life responsibly. Heading out to our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. All you folks lined up here want to get to you. The Undertaker in Chalmette is up next. What you got for us tonight, The Undertaker? You still with us, Undertaker?
Undertaker, yawn. Come on, don't freeze up now. You can't be taking a nap or something. We coming to you. What you got, Undertaker?
All right, next up then, we go to David in Biloxi. David, how you doing today?
I'm doing fine. How you doing, Bobby? Hey, Bear and all y'all.
All right, David, how you doing? I like that accent a little bit. I'm not mocking you, but I kind of like that. You sound like a good old boy from Biloxi.
I am. I'm a country boy from Mississippi. Look, I'm looking at these draft picks from last year. Uagwa, McKinstry, Radler, Means, and Ford. I think we hit on three of them. Means, like you say, not so much.
No, he had a high ankle sprain, and then Bum Means, I mean, he's not been. I think Fuaga, I think I can live with him.
Yeah.
That he will develop. Steve, help me out here. Who else? Who else now, David?
Ford.
Oh no, no.
Ford, fifth round draft pick.
Ford, no, from Notre Dame. No, he's like
able to stay healthy.
He sounds like Isaiah Foskey to me. But Isaiah Foskey was drafted a lot higher, so you have more. You have higher expectations. And then as far as Kool-Aid, I ain't calling him Kool-Aid. I'm calling him by his real name you got to kick ass before you become Kool-Aid. Right now, he's just that young McKinstry kid.
JaQuincy.
JaQuincy. Yeah, that's JaQuincy. He ain't Kool-Aid. He ain't done enough. He's not even as good as Paulson Adebo or Lattimore. He's not even as good as Alante Taylor, and Alante Taylor gets exploited. No, Kool-Aid's okay. Ain't nothing to write home about. Then Mickey Loomis or the organization, a lot of scouts would say, oh, well, you got to give him time. It's not a one-year window. It's like a two or three or four-year window. You know, Steve and I were looking at this today. You know who's a son of a gun, and not necessarily you want him to date your daughter, and you want him on your team, is C.D. Deuce.
Pick six today, yeah.
Chauncey Gardner-Johnson had a pick six. Look how he's traveled. He's like a military brat. What, he's going from the Saints, he's going to the Eagles, to Detroit, back to the Eagles. Man, all I know is he ain't intimidated. He's a baller. You remember when he intercepted that pass against Tom Brady? He went up to Tom Brady. Man, who are you? You need that kind of swag. I'm not saying Kool-Aid needs to have that, but he still has a ways to go. To me, he's not Kool-Aid. He's a young McKinstry right now. So,
right.
Are you hitting on the draft? Bobby, you have too many high expectations. But we win this outstanding draft. You look at Colston and all that, what we're able to do, Reggie Bush and all that. When we initially laid the impact to have a winning team in 2017, well, we do another big-time draft. So, one out of the handful of players worked out. Other than that, we can't count on them.
Right. What about the offensive line and defensive line this coming year? What do you think?
It's terrible. Because you know why?
Everything needs help, right?
We need help. When I say terrible, compared to we were spoiled in the past. But we had one of the best offensive lines. I'm telling you this. You might think I'm exaggerating. But look what Drew Brees and all that and Sean Payton, when we were rolling, we took for granted not only top five, we're in the top three, if not number one. Our defense sucked. We were like one before last, and we still were hovering around 500. But I'm talking about center, guard, and tackle. You can look at Teron Armstead. You look at Jari Evans. You look at all the centers we've had. I mean, they made we had guards were so good. We made Brian Dela Puente look good when we had like Jari Evans and Carl Nix and all that. I look at all we've had in the trenches. Now look at the defensive line. Okay, we were playing well against the run. Now who are you gonna pay? Look at Onyemata, the African guy, and then now he goes to Atlanta. Have we gotten better? Colin Saunders, he's a character. And Nathan Shepard.
No, run defense has definitely dipped.
And then Brian Brzee, he could sack the quarterback. He would have had a sack, 7.5, then had a penalty. But we're not good at the point of attack against the run.
But they've addressed O-line and D-line too high in the drafts. They just have not worked out.
No, like Isaiah Foskey. Isaiah Foskey, well, we draft him high to be a special teams player? Hell no. Look at JT Gray. He's like not only a Pro Bowl, but he's like all pro. We didn't draft Isaiah Foskey to be like a dominant special teams player, but that's where he's at right now. Okay, you look at Chase Young. Okay, you might say, well, Chase Young's disruptive. No, I would run right at Chase Young. I'd run right at him. He could be disruptive, getting quarterback pressures and hurries and all that. But right now, just look at the wave. Look with the Raiders. Okay, I'm going to say this. It is not an opinion. Why do you think the Raiders, who were dead last running the football, why did they have 38 rushing attempts? Because they, we can freaking run the ball on the Saints. It was the wave. It was the wave. They're going to get 4 or 5 yards a pop. Therefore, you're going to have success as a quarterback. Now, as fans, we follow the football, and we look at the skill positions. But right now, we're getting our ass kicked overall in the trenches, offensive and defensive line. And that did not happen for over a dozen years, 15, 16 years under Sean Payton with Drew Brees. That did not happen. We were winning in the trenches. Cam Jordan was young and all that. But right now, defensively, we need help everywhere. Now, you know, cornerback was a strength in August. I don't know, like Paulson E. Debo got a bad broken leg. Lattimore is now with Washington. He's been a prima donna. Now, the Washington fans don't even like him.
No, his hamstring seems to be shredded.
Honey Badger, yeah, can Honey ever go rotten or last forever? I don't know. Now he's just Tyrann Mathieu. He's an older player. Now he has a good heart. He's great in the community. But in football, when you're mid-30s, you're old, and not in life, but in football. Right now, I'm telling you, the last time we had safeties that you could trust, whether you liked them on or off the field and all that, was when we had Malcolm Jenkins and they went to the Ravens.
Marcus Robin.
Marcus Williams.
Marcus Williams. That was
Robinson. Yeah. When we had Malcolm Jenkins and Marcus Williams, that's when we truly had stability at safety. So, and then linebackers, DeMario's old, Cam Jordan's old. Right now, defensively, Pete Werner, I already mentioned those other linebackers who's playing with the Lions, the Eagles, and the Falcons. Pete Werner plays hard, but for us to have a chance this year, our defense would have to play a whole lot better and not be ranked, not middle of the pack, but at the bottom of the pack. That's where we're at. Well, that's why we only won 5 games.
Taking a break. We'll be back with more of your calls right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network, Ciroc Point After. Welcome back into the Ciroc Point After. Celebrate life responsibly. Now, what's bugging Bobby about today's game? And whew, I know it's got to be a lot, but J&J Exterminators, Louisiana's largest independent exterminating company, is brought to you by the Buggin' Bobby segment. And Cajun Cannon, I don't know where you're going to start with this one, but what is bugging you?
Well, I can tell you, I don't know the outcome. Come or the final score, but if you would just tell me these two things,
okay,
I thought the Saints ain't gonna win. If you would have told me that we 1 of 10 on third down, that's basically over. We got a third down conversion at the end. Now we were
Earlier, basically was over.
Yeah, we were 1 of 1 on fourth down and all that. That's all desperation. But we were 0 of 9. If you just told me that, and you told me this. Because the Raiders were dead last running the football, and they felt like they can run the ball. So I look at third down, and then I look at the Raiders ran for 156 yards, and they averaged 4.1 yards a carry. Now, we were giving up 5 yards a carry, but that means, and they had 38 attempts. That means they were in the lead, and they're setting the tempo. I guess I can go on, and then we're -2 in the turnover margin, which is back-to-back games. I didn't even know that. That's three things. Bobby, you only can pick one. But those three things. Like,
there's got to be a lot bugging you.
But those three things are bugging me. I said, there's no way the Saints are going to win. Now, I don't know the final outcome that we lose by 15 points. But I said, just those three things. We're not winning the game if you just told me that.
Looking at our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk in text line, I'm going to get right back to it. And Carson in Baton Rouge is up next. What you got for us today, Carson?
Yes, sir. By the way, earlier I have somebody called from the West Bank, Best Bank. I am from Belle Chasse, even though I'm calling from Baton Rouge. So
okay,
I'm with that. Yeah. But I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no. Go ahead. You're on, Carson. Whatever you got.
Yes, sir. I've heard a lot of people, including my family and my friends and people on this show, talk about Mickey Loomis has got to go, Mickey Loomis has got to go. I don't know, man. Hasn't he earned a little bit of leeway or the benefit of the doubt? I mean, in 25 years since he's been here, you have a Hall of Fame quarterback. You have one of the great offensive coaches in NFL history. Yeah, you had some horrible defenses, but wasn't that also partially getting hamstrung by Bounty Gate and everything with Roger Goodell? And then we actually end up turning it around. People are, you know, Dennis Allen had to go eventually, don't get me wrong, but, I mean, who wouldn't have hired him after he's basically the guy that turned around our defense after it was historically bad in the mid-2010s? We have missed on some draft picks, but we've also had some great free agent signings. I mean, DeMario Davis is a great – he's arguably one of the most underrated linebackers in the NFL. Tyrann Mathieu was a great get. I don't know, man. I think Mickey Loomis has earned a lot of leeway for what he's given to the Saints, and not to mention – we've won our first and only Super Bowl under his tenure. We went to the NFC Championship after Katrina. I mean, and the Saints did not have a winning record until their 21st season in the NFL. I think right around the time you started playing, Mr. Bobby. So, I mean, it's not. I just think he's earned a little bit of leeway. I mean, I know in 3 or 4 years, if it's still not working out, I get it.
Well, it's been 4 years.
It's been 4 years, but, I mean, we were kicking the can down the road with these future draft picks and everything.
Well, and he's in charge of that when you look at the salary cap and all.
Right, but, I don't have a problem with him having to – that he did all that because he was trying to get Drew Brees a championship before Drew Brees got too old to do it. And, I mean, it ended poorly. You know, I know he's missed on some stuff, but, you know.
Well, the thing is, they trust him and Sean Payton. They both trust Jeff Harlan. Jeff Harlan is not with the Saints. I think Sean Payton trusts him. He might end up in Denver to help out the Broncos. You know, it's amazing because the Saints' success in the past, how many individuals have connections with the Saints and then Detroit and Denver? I mean, look at Zach Streif and all that. You could just see a number of individuals that has occurred. But, again, what have you done for me lately? You want instant gratification. So we have not been in the postseason. And, you know, we were a lot like Tampa Bay, and that was under Mickey Loomis. We won the NFC South 4 straight years. But now Tampa Bay, that's where they're at, and we're not there. So it's always what have you done for me lately. And I can play devil's advocate, Carson, on this. I can play both sides of the fence. And, you know, like winning as general managers – in NFL history. Now, no one would realize, you know who's the number one winning as general manager when you think about it? And now he's coaching the North Carolina Tar Heels. Bill Belichick. You look at winning percentage. But you look at like Al Davis, now Mark Davis, his son is running the team. You know, Jerry Jones, Tex Schramm. You look at the Cowgirls, Bill Polian. But Mickey Loomis is up there with Ozzie Newsome. Now, Ozzie Newsome is part of the Ravens. The reason why he left the Ravens, he was in Cleveland, you know, one of the greatest tight ends in NFL history because of Art Modell. Then he goes to Baltimore, and he was running the show. So Mickey Loomis has a better winning percentage than Ozzie Newsome. And Ozzie Newsome is considered great. But again, it's what have you done for me lately?
I'm getting you a shirt that says that. No, what have you done for me lately?
No, it's a tough business. It's the pros. I mean, what have you done for me lately to win? Listen, we all acknowledge that Mickey Loomis brought Sean Payton on board. And then the combination of him and Sean Payton, they brought Drew Brees on board. Then they won championships. But again... it's like, we're going to kind of go forward. We're going to go with Dennis Allen and see what's going to occur. To say that you're just going to stand pat and go with Mickey running the team, I mean, how can you say that? Because you know why? There's no reason that we should not be, you might say, oh, we had the injuries and all that. Why we should not be in contention in the NFC South? The NFC South is nothing to write home about. It's not like we're playing in the NFC North and we're going against the Lions. We're going against the Vikings. We're going against the Packers. Now, think about that. Our division. So it's not like so highly competitive. Well, Bobby, what do you expect? So that's why, you know, when you want to give Mickey Loomis a pass and he deserves the benefit of the doubt. No, it's tough love. The bottom line is you have to win. Now, I could think the scapegoat would be because we not have had the successful drive that we like since 2017 would be Jeff Ireland. Maybe you have to go on a different team, and we're going to go in a different direction there. But then Mickey's still in charge. You got a lot of the Who Dat Nation fans, they do not want Mickey to be in charge. And that'd be up a decision, I think. That'd be a power struggle within the organization. How much stroke? And I think they have more stroke than Mickey, that being Dennis Lauscher and Gail Benson. That they have more power than Mickey Loomis. Okay, what are you going to do? You could still keep Mickey on board. He just got to humble himself and be a liaison to the owner, and you go to the owner's meetings, you're still part of the organization. You're like an ambassador. You know, the damn president, all of a sudden, okay, you're an ambassador, or like Trump might put somebody. You go to England, or you're going to be in Italy, or something. I'm an ambassador. Oh, Woody, the damn owner of the Jets who's dysfunctional, wasn't he an ambassador to England in the past? So, yeah, you can make Mickey Loomis an ambassador to the Saints.
Hear more of the Cajun Cannon right after these words. We're going to be back here on the Ciroc Point After on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Saints fall 25-10 to the Raiders in the home finale. We're going to get back into our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Logan and Lafayette, you are up next. What you got?
Before you go to Logan.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I'm patient. I think I'm very patient. How we lost today to the Raiders. It's not like we lost today to the Bills.
Detroit. I know.
Detroit.
One of the top teams Vikings, in the league. Right.
Whoever. The Chiefs. Okay, you can understand all that. Or the Ravens. Or whoever. No, it's the freaking Raiders. The Raiders are sorry.
And it wasn't a close game.
We lost by 15 points.
At home.
So how are you going to sugarcoat that? At home. You know what pissed me off more than anything? And they try to do a great job to have a dome field, home field advantage. We're pumping in noise when we're on defense. Our defense is so sorry that we're pumping in noise. Like music and all that and right. Whatever's the latest, greatest rap or whatever we're doing. We're pumping in noise. Come on, get excited. And we're on the third down. Third down means first down for the Raiders. And when you talk about that, you know, you want to get off the field. Coach Riz even acknowledged this. If you look at third down, they were 10 of 18, 56%. We ain't stopping Jack. No, you can get off the field without stopping nobody. That is desperation. When you're playing in the Caesars Superdome and you have to pump in noise to try and come on, catch here. Like get your fours up. It's the fourth quarter and all that. We trying to get all pumped up. Give us something to cheer for. Give us something to cheer for. It's like fake. It's like faking the funk. I mean, we're like all of a sudden we're on defense and we can't. Because I remember that dome so loud you can't even hear yourself think.
Oh, for sure.
You ain't got to play no damn music. Or you ain't got to entice the crowd. They know to cheer when you're kicking ass. And right now, obviously, we're not kicking ass. Against the sorry Raiders, they were kicking our ass. That's what happened.
All right, Logan and Lafayette, you are finally up. The Cajun Cannon said his piece there. What you got, Logan?
Yeah, appreciate it, guys. Bobby, we were at the game, man. You're right. Morale was low. It just seemed like everybody understands we've got injuries to deal with, but the discipline and lack thereof, you know, the penalties, the turnovers, it's just bad football. It's tough to watch, man. My comment, you hit on it earlier, is with the state of the NFC South currently, I think the Saints are really squandering an opportunity to make the playoffs. You know, we just want to be able to watch Sunday Night Football tonight, see the graphic, you know, playoff picture, in the hunt. Saints, we're not even in the hunt right now. And you only have to win 8, 9, 10 games in our division to be right there, and we want to have meaningful football late in the season.
Amen.
And we're not near that, man. So that's all I wanted to say.
Well, it's a great call, Logan. You make great points, and yeah, we just want to be in the hunt, and we're not in the hunt, and it's not asking much because the NFC South, it doesn't take much. We're not in the NFC North. We're not competing against Detroit, Green Bay, and Minnesota. Like the Bears have no fighting chance, considering where they're at. No, in the NFC South. The NFC South is like, NFC South, you know, both South divisions, NFC South, AFC South, is like the AFC and NFC South. Now, think about that. Look at Jacksonville. Look where the Titans are at. The Texans, you think the Texans are hot? The Texans scored 2 points that night. They got waxed, and they leading the AFC South. No, AFC South, NFC South. You trust Richardson with the Colts in the AFC South? No, the AFC South, NFC South is both doubt. And so there's no excuse that if you in those divisions, AFC or NFC, you should be relevant. And we're not right now. That's what's frustrating.
Stepping away here on the Ciroc Point After. Celebrate life responsibly. We'll return after these messages on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back into the Ciroc Point After. Celebrate life responsibly. And it's now time for our Ciroc toast to the Saints player of the game. Pour yourself a glass of Ciroc Premium Vodka and raise a glass as we toast Cajun Cannon who?
Well, I tell you what, if you did this the second half, I'd have given hands down to Spencer Rattler, but not so fast. You got to play four quarters. The first half, he was unbelievable. He was outstanding, but not so fast the second half. You know, he ended up with a touchdown, but he had a couple of picks, a quarterback rating, right on the 60 at 59. But the one I'm going to give it to is Cam Jordan. Think how consistent through the years. Now, I wish Peyton Turner, Marcus Davenport is not here anymore, Isaiah Foskey, whoever it might be, I wish you had half of Cam Jordan's career. Cam Jordan could be part of the rotation with the Dome Patrol. You know, like old school as far as producing. I'm talking about hitting and getting and sacking the quarterback. So I'm going to give it to Cam Jordan. And Cam Jordan has played hard. And it might be interesting because, Steve, on social media and all that, they said the game's over. And his family's hanging out at the Dome for 2 hours past the game. It might be one last hurrah.
I'll look back at the Superdome one last time.
Because when it's over, it's over. Now, Cam, you see him on NFL Network. It might be on Fox. He'll be part of the media, but it's not over. But Cam has – I wish we had more damn Cam Jordans. That's all I could say. Cam Jordan.
He says he does want to play, though, in 2025, so we'll see.
Well, yeah. Will it be
with the Saints?
No, it ain't going to be with the Saints. But what is the team willing to pay you?
Sure.
You know, what are they paying you? I think he don't want to play in the interior. I don't want to be no damn D tackle. I want to come on the edge. But all I know is Cam Jordan. We had one sack. Guess who had it? Cam Jordan. He had a quarterback hurry. Him and Brian Brzee, they each had a quarterback hurry. You look at a tackle for a loss. Demario Davis had one. He had two. So if you look at, he led the team in sacks and tackles for a loss today, that being Cam Jordan. I wish we had more Cam Jordans, then we'd have more consistent success on defense if we had more Cam Jordans. So I'm not worried about Cam Jordan, but he is getting older. It's just the way it is for the time.
We definitely need more first-round picks like Cam Jordan for show.
Yeah, Cam Jordan, considering where he was drafted first round, above and beyond, listen, Peyton Turner, Marcus Davenport, they can't even wash Cam Jordan's jock. Not even wear it. They can't even wash it. They can't even hold it. Cam Jordan's been on that level. So we need more Cam Jordans as far as future prospects, who we're going to draft, and how they're going to produce. So Cam Jordan, Spencer Rattler was training that way. I mean, not so much the second half, but props go out to Cam Jordan and what he's done as a Saint.
So we'll do half a shot for Rattler for his first half performance.
Yeah, half a shot for Rattler and a full shot for Cam.
There you go.
Because I'm going to tell you what right now. Cam Jordan, Cam Jordan is a Pro Football Hall of Famer. I'm not talking about Saints or Louisiana Hall of Famer. Cam Jordan's a Pro Football Hall of Famer. Cam Jordan has been that good. Do you know in college at Cal Berkeley, he only had four sacks? But I think that stat's right. But he's gotten better. Every down defensive end, first, second, third down, can play the run, can rush the passer. Cam Jordan's the freaking man. Now he's kind of quirky. He's kind of weird. He says weird stuff to the media at times. But I know his dad, Steve Jordan, the tight end with the Vikings, going way back.
He was in the building today.
Yeah, yeah. But Cam Jordan, let me tell you, we need more Cam Jordans. We will have success if we have more guys like him.
We're taking a break here on the Ciroc Point After, but we'll be back with more right after this. So stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back into the Ciroc Point After. Celebrate life responsibly. Going to get right to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Our good pal Jimmy's on the line. Bobby, Jimmy and Gretna, you are up. What you want to say about today's game, Jimmy?
Well, I think y'all made a good point about Cam Jordan. I feel like I was one of the guys earlier in the season and really all summer saying, is he washed? Now, look, Father Time always wins, but I think the last few weeks he's shown he's stepped up. He's really played hard, and I think you guys might be onto something. You know, kind of like when Drew Brees looked at one time, at one final time in the tunnel, maybe Cam with his family was looking around because, you know, it's in the end, it's about production. He makes a lot of money, and, you know, our team is getting older. You know, I mean, these are great legends, you know, Cam Jordan and Honey Badger, what
DeMario
he did at LSU.
DeMario Davis.
Right. And I still think Bobby's got a lot of tread left on the tire, I hope, but because he's really playing pretty well considering. But he's slowing down. Everybody's slowing down. That Father Time always wins. But, you know, we're a long way from being relevant. You know, honestly, us losing today, I'm fine with it. I don't know what to say about Spencer Rattler. I know this much.
He was awesome in the first half, Jimmy. He was awesome in like a tale of two halves.
He's definitely – There's a spot in the NFL for him. Now, he's 0-5. You could also say, well, Troy Aikman was won only three games, the whole 3-11 or 12 or whatever it was.
Peyton
Manning.
No, the whole thing.
1-15, right?
No, Jimmy. Dallas in 1989, Jimmy Johnson's first year. You look a Super Bowl winner, how people perceive Jimmy Johnson as a head coach. But Troy Aikman was 0-11 as a starting quarterback. The only game Dallas won that year was with Steve Walsh, who ended up with the Saints. They were 1-15. So yeah, you cannot get discouraged. You gotta weather.
Did you beat that team, Bobby? Bobby, did you beat that team? Man, is that why you?
Man, 28-0. And we played in the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Troy Aikman's first game, Jimmy Johnson's first game in 1989. In the Superdome, we beat them 28-0. I don't know if we even punted. I mean, we had these long, sustained drives. All I know is we won 28-0. But that's why Spencer Rattler, I think he can build upon this and be an NFL quarterback. Now, what does that mean? You can be an NFL quarterback and not necessarily a starting quarterback, and then there's a different level franchise quarterback. I think Spencer Rattler has shown that he belongs in the league, but listen, there's 32 teams. There's not even 32 legitimate starting quarterbacks. You look at O'Connell with the Raiders. I think there's not 32 guys better than him. I think Spencer Rattler would be in that next tier. So every team's going to keep two quarterbacks. So then there's 64 quarterbacks. Spencer Rattler can be in that number, but it was a tale of two halves what he did in the first half compared to the second half. You just got to handle adversity. You got to just try and get better, because either you're getting better or you're getting worse, and that's where Spencer Rattler's at. I know you're a big fan of Spencer Rattler, but the bottom line is you got to win. And as we go on in the break, do you know in Saints history, now you might, Bobby, weren't you a rookie with the Saints? No, I played pro ball with the Michigan Panthers, Oakland Invaders. I was already a pro. Tell about a professional football when you're actually getting paid. You would guess, who's the quarterback, the first quarterback to win a game when they were a rookie? You might guess, Danny Wolfram. No, Danny Wolfram as a rookie did not win. You know what it was? You got to go back to 1981. Dave Wilson was a supplemental first-round draft pick with the Saints, Bump Phillips, and he won a game against the Rams in 1981.
I was a wee little six-year-old.
And he won a game. That's how long it's been. A rookie quarterback with the Saints has not had success as far as winning a game. That's how hard it is. I'm telling you, that's how tough the NFL is.
Music's playing us out to break. We'll be back with more to close out the Ciroc Point After right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We are back here on the Ciroc Point After. Before we close things out, let us pause 10 seconds. Let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. A tough one, week 17. The Saints' home finale was no good, no bueno today. It was 25-10, black and gold falling to the Las Vegas Raiders, and now sit 5-11 on the season. Next game is against those Tampa Bay Buccaneers a week from today in Raymond James Stadium.
Well, Steve, when you think about it, and Charlie, you know, we've actually played just as good, if not better, in Tampa Bay. If you look at the Saints in Tampa Bay in that venue, it brings out the best in the Saints. Some of their most dominant wins in recent years have come in Tampa. To me, one of the most unbelievable games ever, when Dennis Allen was the interim head coach, remember he put the hurt on Tom Brady? Then we win like 9-0, 9-0. Who would have thought that game? No, so we've actually played well in Tampa. I don't know if that'll be the case in point this year. We've actually played well in Tampa, but I think the Houdat Nation, we'd much rather Tampa Bay represent the NFC South than the damn Dirty Birds in Atlanta.
Coming up on Sunday Night Football, we'll get to see those Dirty Birds in action, taking on the Washington Commanders, a battle of rookie QBs. Cajun Cannon, say goodnight to the Houdat Nation, who's hurting right now.
All right, bon nuit les gens. Good night, people. Houdat, go Saints.